Amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Elsa. Amen. Let's give God some thanks this morning for what he has done already and what he is yet to do. I'm excited to speak this morning. Pastor Steve and Vicki are on vacation. They'll be back next week, and they send their greetings. Today, I want to talk to you about a subject that can sometimes be a touchy subject. It's a subject that people sometimes get uncomfortable about. It's a subject that we think about quite a bit, even if we don't want to talk about it in mixed crowds. Many parents don't like to talk about it in front of their kids, and they probably assume their kids are going to just learn about it when they're older. And quite honestly, I think schools should teach it, teach more about it, but that's my own opinion. And by now, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? I want to talk to you today about money. Amen. Is that not what you were thinking? Yeah, some of you are like, yeah, I already know. I don't normally give my messages titles, not for any great reason, but as I was thinking about this, Pastor Jonathan suggested that I use the title "Mow Your Lawn," and you'll understand that a little bit better as the message goes on, I hope. But money is a sensitive topic on their own, but it's especially sensitive in church. And some people, as soon as you start talking about money in church, they don't want to make eye contact with you. It's like you're selling a timeshare, and they're like, well, if we just don't look at them, then we'll be okay. And how many people have either said yourself or you've heard somebody else say, you know, all the church wants is money. They all only talk about money. And you probably have heard that before. And so you're probably thinking, then why is he talking about money this morning? But we need to know that the fact of the matter is that people that feel that way, they have a reason that they feel that way. And most likely they have had a bad experience. There are those that emotionally try to manipulate people to give, and that's wrong. There are people who try to twist the scriptures in such a way and kind of make you a promise that if you just give enough, if you sow enough seed, God's going to make you a millionaire or a billionaire. And there are those who beg for money like God is going to not be able to pay his mortgage and God needs your money desperately. There are those that just flat out lack financial accountability and integrity. And finally, there are those that are just—they do a terrible job handling money. They just don't know how to budget. And when I hear people like that, I get embarrassed. When I hear about people that have done something like that, and I try to distance myself, you know, kind of like, you know, if you're standing near somebody and they're making a scene at the grocery store, you know, you kind of move over a little bit. And that's kind of the way I want to get from some people who talk about money, and even ministries and pastors that talk about money, and they do so in a wrong way. So why am I going to bother talking about money? Because I feel like I have to talk about money, because the Bible talks about money quite a bit. There are over 2,000 scriptures that have to do with money. And so if I'm going to teach God's word, I'm going to preach God's word, if this church is going to stand upon God's word, we've got to address the subject of money at some point in time. You know, Jesus talked about money a lot. And if I talked about money as much as Jesus talked about money, you wouldn't come back next week, right? If we spent all the time. Did you know at least 40% of the parables that Jesus taught were about money? And I'm going to name them for you. The treasure that's hidden in the field, the pearl of great price, the rich fool, the lost coin, the Pharisee and the tax collector, the two debtors, counting the cost, the shrewd manager and the unjust steward. And this morning, I want to take a look at another parable of Jesus that some mistakenly don't think is about money, but it really is about money. And we know it as the parable of the talents. And sometimes when we read this story and we see the word parable of the talents, we immediately think of our word talent, and we think that Jesus is talking about our spiritual gifts, gifts that are given to believers by the Holy Spirit, or perhaps maybe even our natural abilities that God has given us with. And we talk about using our talents, and they may think of traits that are hardwired from birth or our childhood, or maybe things that we've developed over time. Like something that you've learned, like you've learned to play an instrument, or you've learned to use a computer, or you've learned to sing, and you've developed that gift over time, and we need to be accountable for those talents. And although that's true, that's not what it's talking about. This parable is a parable about money, and the owner is going to give sums of money, and he's going to give them based on ability. It's the story of the three servants, and we call them stewards in the Bible. The word stewardship is defined as the careful, responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. So stewardship is someone who manages the property of another. They don't own the property, they take care of the property. And that's what stewardship is. And this message is, I do believe this message is for everybody this morning, that God has something. There's enough here that it's kind of like shooting and it's going to go everywhere. There's something for everybody in this message. But as I was preparing it, I really felt a really strong burden in my heart for those who are 35 years old and under. So if you're 35 years old or under, would you stand this morning? Some of you are lying. Some of you act like you're under 35, but not. I didn't say 75. I said 35. All right. Hey, I believe with all of my heart that some of the information that's going to come from God's word this morning can really shape your future. You may be seated. So I just want to encourage you not to tune out, but to really listen to what God's word has to say. Not necessarily what I have to say, but what God's word has to say. So let's read Matthew chapter 25, 14 to 30. And as we're reading, I'm just going to make a few comments along the way. I'll give you a moment to do that. This is Jesus talking, and he's talking about his the kingdom of God. So Matthew 25, and starting in verse 14, it says, "For it will be like," talking about the kingdom of God, "will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property." So this is Jesus talking. And when he tells this story, it's just days before the Passover, before the crucifixion. He knows that he's leaving soon, and so he's the one who's going on the journey. He's the man that's going on the journey in the story. And he calls his servants, and when it says he calls his servants, he's talking about believers, and he says that he's going to entrust them with his property. So that's really important. Whose property is it? His property, right? Don't be shy. Whose property is it? His property. And so it says in verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. And if you're like me, immediately when you're reading this, you think that's not fair. You know, God should have been more fair. He should have taken them and divided them up equally, but he didn't. And it says he gave 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. And then he tells us why. He says, each according to his ability. He didn't split it up evenly. He didn't do it based on who he liked better. I like this guy better, so I'm going to give him 5. But according to their ability. And then it says he went away. In verse 14, it says, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 more. So the first servant took the 5 talents and that he received, and he traded it. And that means he did business with it, right? He used it and did business with it. And the same with the second servant, and he doubled it and made 2 more. So the first guy took it, he used that money, he had 5 talents. At the end of the story, he has 10 talents. The guy with 2 has made 4. Verse 18, but he who had received the 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. So he hid whose money? He hid the master's money, right. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. One of the things that we understand from this story is that the master will return, and when he does, he is going to settle accounts with his servants. Verse 20 says, and he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Have you heard that verse before? Isn't that the verse that we all want to hear one day? Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. I know I want to hear that from God. Do you know that's only found in 2 different stories in the Bible? And both of them have to do with, guess what? With money. I always thought, well done, good and faithful servant, was like me using my gifts for the Lord. right? And I am accountable for those too. We'll talk about that. But it's in regards to money. The other one is in when he gives out 10 coins and he divides them up and gives them out. But here he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And again, we all want to hear that, but we're only going to hear that if we're doing the things that God tells us to do. And so verse 22, he who had the 2 talents came forward saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man." And sadly, a lot of people have that opinion of God. A lot of people have the opinion of God that God is rough, that God is tough, that God is mean, that God is always angry, that God is hard. And he says, "Reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you have scattered, so I was afraid." And what drove him to hide that talent? Fear. Fear drove him to hide that talent, and he buried it. "And I went and I hid your talent." Whose talent did he hide? He hid God's. It wasn't his. He hid God's talent. "He hid your money in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But the master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I didn't sow, and I gather where I haven't scattered seed. Then you ought to have invested the money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." This parable is a lesson on stewardship. A reminder what stewardship is. It is the management of the property of another. I want to say right up front that I owe a lot of what I know about stewardship from Robert Morris. And I don't know if anybody listens to Robert Morris from Gateway or read his books. And this is a couple of books that I had ordered weeks ago when I knew that this was that I was going to speak on. The Blessed Life by Robert Morris and Beyond Blessed. And these are great tools and great books, and I would recommend them. And so some of the information I got, I probably got from here. And it's hard. I like to say this whenever I preach because I want to give credit. If I know who said something, I want to give them credit. But I take in a lot of stuff, just like a lot of you take in a lot of stuff. So I just want to give credit to everybody this morning. So if you hear something that's really good, that probably comes from the Holy Spirit, or it could come from Pastor Steve, or it could come from Beth Moore, or it could come from Tony Evans, or it could come from Stephen Furtick, Priscilla Schreier. These are all people that I listen to. Kevin Hart has some good stuff. So any good jokes I have. But from this parable, there are 3 things that I want us to take away. Number one is, I am not the owner. And that's probably the most important. I am not the owner. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell therein." God is telling us that it is all his, the earth and everything in it. I love 1 Corinthians is this verse. It says, "What do you have that you haven't received?" And the answer is nothing. You don't have anything that you haven't first received from God. Deuteronomy says, "Even our ability to produce wealth comes from God." One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 50, and verse 10 says this, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that move in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you." Isn't that a good lie? If I was hungry, God says, I wouldn't tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. If God needed something, he wouldn't come running to you with an offering plate. Right? So it's not that God needs anything. God says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. If I was hungry, I would eat one of my cows. I would eat one of my chickens. I would eat one of my turkeys. I would eat one of my lobsters. I would eat one of my fish. Right? Because it's all God's. He says, or I say, if God wanted a salad, he would eat his own lettuce, right? He would eat his own tomatoes. He'd eat his own carrots. And forget about Caesar dressing, right? The Bible says that every island is yours. So 1,000 islands belong to God. That was all me, just so you know. God doesn't need anything from us. And we need to get a hold of that. It all belongs to God already. 1 Corinthians 10:26. If you're a note taker, it's going to give us a detailed list of everything that belongs to God. Are you ready to write it down? "For the earth is the Lord's and all that it contains." The earth is the Lord and all that it contains. So when you're making your list, what belongs to me? Over here, you can put nothing. Over here on God's column, all. It all belongs to God. The house that you live in, right? That was made with wood that came from God. Those bricks are God's bricks. Those stones are God's stones. The metal for your car that you drove in this morning, that came from God's mines, right? Those diamond earrings, that comes from God's gold. That gold ring, that silver bracelet, all God's. Those leather kicks that you're wearing, those cotton pants, that silk shirt, God's, God's, God's. It's all God's. It's all God's. The earth and all that it contains. And sometimes we can be like little kids. You know what it's like when you're with a little kid? And it's like, that's my toy, right? And you know you bought the toy, but that's my toy. That's my French fries. What do you call those things from Dunkin' Donuts? They say that's mine. And I feel like when kids get older, it gets worse, right? When they become teenagers, now it's my phone. And it's like, my room, your room, right? My computer. I remember, this is just a really helpful hint for parents. When my kids turned a certain age, we wanted them to be able to have a phone to be able to contact us with. And I would let them take the phone, and I would tell them, you can borrow my extra phone. So you don't have a phone. I have two phones. And you better not change the code on my phone, right? Because that's my phone, right? And and some of you have given in to the fact that, oh, that's my kid's phone. Even if they're paying for it, that's your phone, right? And the bill is not in their name. If they don't make a payment, right, they're not coming to look for your kid. They're coming to look for you, right? But kids get that way, and this is mine, this is mine. And I remember when we'd go out to eat, and we would get those little boxes, you know, the whatever was left, and they would write their name on it. Right, and I just wanted to go and like they think that's their food, like they didn't know, or they do know that I'm the one that took out that plastic and paid for it. I'm the one that took out that cash and paid for it, and they write their name on that food. I just wanted to go and I wanted to eat it, but they never got anything that I would want. Like to this day, it's chicken parm no matter where you go, right? Or chicken nuggets. So listen. There are a lot of us in the kingdom of God, and we're acting like children. We're acting like teenagers, and we think that it's ours. But the reality is, it belongs to God. He let us use it, but it belongs to God. And in the story that we read, the owner comes back, and when he did, he settles accounts. He settles accounts because everything they had wasn't theirs. It belonged to the owner. They were stewards entrusted with the master's good. And if we could get a hold of that truth, that it all belongs to God, I truly believe that would change everything in our life. Number one, God is the owner. Number two, we are stewards. Stewardship starts really early in the Bible, Genesis, right? God takes Adam and Eve, and he puts them in the garden, and he says, take care of this. He says, in effect, mow the lawn, right? Take care of it. Take care of what I have entrusted you with. And he gave them a place to live, told them to take care of it. And he said, you can have anything you want. You can have anything you want in the garden, except this tree right here. And I believe God put that tree there as a reminder to them that it didn't belong to them. It belonged to God. It belonged to God. And so we need to remember that not everything is ours. It belongs to God. It's a reminder that we are not owners. And the reason many people have trouble with the Christian faith is that we believe that there is an owner. We believe that there is an owner. Even ourselves, we're not our own, but we've been bought with a price, right? So we don't even belong to ourselves. We belong to God. And that's hard when people want to be in charge, when people want to make decisions, when people want to make their own rules. And it's so hard because we want to have our own standards and our own morality, but we belong to God. We are not the owners. There's two things that we need to remember. There is a God. That's number one. And number two, it's not us. Right? There is a God, and it's not me. And so let's go back to the three servants that became stewards. We read, to one he gave five to another two, and to the last one, one. A talent is a sum of money. And so just real quick, I want to tell you how much a talent was, because I think it helps us with the story. If it was a talent of silver, it would have been worth 10,000 denarii. And denarii was the amount that you would make in a day. The single form of denarii is a denarius. And denarius was a day's wage. The average person would work 300 days a year because they had a lot of, they had the Sabbaths, but they also had a lot of festivals and a lot of holidays that God put on the calendar as well. And in Jesus' day, people would start working when they were about 17 years old, and they'd work till about 50. And that sounds really good to some of us who are getting close to 50, right? And we think that sounds pretty good. Well, the problem was a lot of them didn't even make it to 50 years old. A lot of them died before 50. But if you worked from 17 to 50, you would basically have earned a talent. So a talent was really a lifetime's worth of wages. And so don't feel bad for the guy that got one talent. He got a whole lifetime worth of wages to steward, to take care of, right? And don't all of us get, we got one lifetime, right? But it says that that he gave them each that. And if it was a talent of gold, the Bible doesn't say if it was a talent of silver or gold. If it was a talent of gold, it's 10 times that amount. And so, again, we don't need to feel bad about the guy that just got one. The master was watching them. And I don't know why he gave them those amounts, other than it says according to their ability. But maybe the master, because they were his servants, knew them, right? And he knew that he sees the first guy. And the first guy is early, 5 minutes, 10 minutes early for work every day. And he's ready to go. He's brought his own lunch and he's got it ready. He's going to heat it up in the microwave at lunch because he doesn't want to lose time. And the next guy, he's not always early, the guy that gets two talents, but he comes right on time. You know, maybe just as the clock is striking that hour when he's supposed to be there. And he comes in, and he's got, you know, he made himself a peanut butter jelly sandwich. He's going to eat that during lunch. And then the third guy, he's always late. He's always late. For some reason, this guy, he loses his keys. He got a phone call. There's a lot of traffic. He got behind a burrow that was extra slow that morning. And he didn't have time to make lunch, so he's got to take a break, and he's got to drive to Chick-fil-A and get some of the Lord's chicken and eat that for lunch. Or maybe he's going to, maybe worse, and I'm not calling anybody out, but maybe he's going to order DoorDash for lunch, right? And he's going to spend his money on lunch when he could have made lunch at home. That's all I'm going to say. But he gave them all three of them according to their ability. And some of us have big plans, but we aren't faithful with what we have. And I believe that the Bible teaches us that if we could be trusted with little, he will give us more, right? If we could be trusted with little, he'll give us more. So you want to own your own business, but you don't show up on time for the job you have. But you want to be an entrepreneur, but you're a terrible employee, right? You want to be the CEO, but again, you don't care about what you're doing and your work is sloppy. You want to be an influencer. Everybody wants to be an influencer, but you have no influence on your own family, right? Everyone wants to, I saw this somewhere. It says, everyone wants to change the world, but no one wants to change the toilet paper, right? How can we say we have these huge plans that we're gonna just do this, but we can't do simple things? God says, when you do the simple things, I'll put you in charge of something else. You want to own a house, but you can't keep an apartment clean, right? And I'm sorry if I haven't offended you yet. I'm coming. You want a bigger house, a bigger yard, but you don't mow your lawn. Mow your lawn. I drive down the street. And this is why Pastor John, he knows about this. I go down the street, and if somebody's outside in their yard and their lawn is, I mean, if it's a day or two over, that's one. But if the grass is like up to their knees, I will yell out, mow your lawn. I have made calls to businesses up the street on Torrey Street and West Street. They had a for rent sign at one of the buildings. I called up. I said, why would anybody want to rent from you? You don't even mow the lawn. The bushes haven't been cut all year. I've called D'Angelo's, I've called AT&T, I have called the city of Brockton, and I said, the War Memorial Building, that's supposed to be a tribute to people who have fought, to our veterans. I said, there are trees growing up through the bushes, right? And I've seen so many times, so don't invite me over if your lawn's not mowed. If you invite me over and your lawn's not mowed, I will help you. That's what I will do. But be a good steward, is what I'm saying. And the master gave them according to their ability. Number one, God is the owner. Number two, we are stewards. And number three, be a good steward. Be a good steward of what God has entrusted you. He has entrusted all of us with something. And you know what? I have to tell you, when I first got married, I want to say I was making $3.75 an hour. And I actually thought that was okay. And Janet was making probably about the same thing. I worked at Heritage House. She worked at a nursing home. And we didn't have a whole lot. But we were faithful with what we have. And I believe according to our ability, God has blessed us. If you're not making what you think that you should make, do right by what you have and see if God will give you more. You can change your ability. Right? Did you know that? Like you can learn another skill. You can add. You can become the best employee that in that category that you work in. And you may see that God will give you an increase, or your boss will see and will reward you, right? And so then we can change our ability. But we want to be stewards, and we want to be good stewards. And some of you right now are thinking, I can't worry about being a good steward because I don't have much. Listen, you're not going to ever have much if you're not a good steward with what you have. You take it, you waste it, you hide it in the ground, or maybe you're hoarding it. I'm sure the master's tired of hearing, well, Lord, if you just give me $1 million, God, oh, I would bless people. But if you're not blessing people now, he already knows you're not going to bless them then either, right? And so God knows our hearts. Why should God give us more if we're not faithful with what he's already given? And again, I'm really not meaning to offend, but I'm really meaning to encourage us today. I want to give you some principles on stewardship. And now, I know it's a little bit after 11 already, but we already had response time early. So I'm going to take a little bit of that time. But I want to give you a few principles. I can't give them all. But number one, it all starts with the tithe. And the tithe means 10%. I don't know why God said 10%, not 5%, not 15%, but he said 10%. I know that 10 in the Bible is a test. That wherever you see the word 10, it means fullness and it means a test. And so I think God knew that some of us were better at math than others. But 10%, anybody can figure out 10%, right? So if you have $100, what's 10%? If you have $1,000, what's 10%? Exactly, right? I think maybe that's why God did it. But that's the number that God picked. And when he talks about the tithe, he doesn't say to give God your tithe. Did you know that? We don't give our tithes. We bring our tithes. That's why I think we're pretty careful when it's time for the offering, we say the Lord's tithes and your offerings, right? Because the tithe is already belongs to God. And so we bring the tithe. And our tithe should be the first portion of what we give. God requires our first fruits. And God gave his first. And God gave his best. And he wants us to give our first fruits, not our leftovers. And I've heard people say about tithing that it's Old Testament. It's the tithing is the law. But I have to tell you, tithing came before the law. Abraham tithed hundreds of years before the law, and Jesus affirmed tithing in the New Testament. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and sometimes we miss that because we think, well, he's talking to the Pharisees, he's not talking to us. He says, you tithe on even your spices, down to the smallest amount, you tithe on your mint and your dill. And he said, that's good, but you're forgetting mercy and justice. He said, you should do the former without forgetting the latter, right? We should do both. So it's not either or, it's both. And then other people that say, you know, when they say, well, the New Testament, you know, we're living under, you know, Jesus. And you know, what did Jesus say to the rich young ruler? He said, sell it all. So 10% is not looking too bad, right? Well, that's the way I look at it. Some people call it tithing. I heard somebody call it one time the church tax. It's not a church tax. Because you don't have to give it, right? The Bible says don't give out of compulsion, right? So it's not that we're not coming for you. You're not going to be arrested if you don't tithe. You will be if you're thinking about taking from your taxes and putting it here. No, like we want to give to Caesar what's Caesar, but we want to give to God what's God. A tithe is a recognition that everything belongs to God, and we bring a portion willingly to Him. Number two, God will always give more through us than to us. And I don't want you to think that's just a trite saying, but I know this to be true. I heard somebody say one time that God has given His people everything that is needed for the work of His kingdom. The problem is, it's still in our pockets sometimes. And I believe that's true, that God has established a pipeline to meet the needs of people and accomplish what He's wanted to do. I remember a long time ago, had to be over 20 years ago, I lined up a group of people here, and I started passing out. I was taking the offering, and I started passing out a dollar, and they passed it to the next person, to the next person, to the next person. But then one person puts it in their pocket before it gets to the end, and the person at the end ends up with nothing, even though the dollars kept coming through. But sometimes God wants to do a work, but the money gets stuck somewhere in the pipeline, right? So God wants to bless people through us. He wants to bless us, but in turn, He's expecting blessings to flow out from you. James says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you have on your own pleasures. I like the King James says, so that you can consume it upon your own lusts. God will direct us to be generous if we listen to Him. But if we take what doesn't belong to us, if we take the part that God wanted to go somewhere else, then that stops up with what God really wants to do. Number three, we're stewards of it all. God cares about the other 90%. So we talk about the tithe. You hear people talk about the tithe all the time. You've read about the tithe. But the whole 90% we are responsible for. And God wants to be good stewards. He doesn't want us to be wasteful. He doesn't want us to be selfish. And He doesn't want us to be stupid. He wants us to take the money that He's given, and we're to steward it. If you're not good at taking care of money, then read a book, take a class, listen to some good advice, pray about it. The Bible says if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. God can help you manage the other 90%. And maybe He wants you to make some phone calls. Maybe He wants you. Mike canceled his. I haven't done it yet, but I'm gonna. Mike canceled his. His security, well, I shouldn't tell people, because it hasn't happened yet. It will happen on the day he leaves. Cancels his security system. They called and they said, is there anything that we can do to keep you as a customer? We can cut your rate. I'm going to call them up and I'm going to say, right? Because I'm steward of that money, right? And it's not that I want to cut out that company, but I want to be a steward of the money that God has given. So sometimes you got to shop around. Listen, stop dressing to impress other people. To be honest, it impresses a few people who are trying to do the same thing, but the rest of us just think it's dumb. And you're wasting money on something that's going to be out of fashion in 6 months. That's not attractive. Let me tell you, you know what's really attractive? Again, I'm talking to people under 30, 35, especially people that aren't married. You know what's really attractive? A good credit score. There, right? Right? And so I'm just telling you, when I took FPU, Financial Peace University, I want to give a plug for that. Dan's not here this morning, but I want to give a plug for that. The top two reasons why the people in our group said that they wanted to take that class and be better with finances was because they wanted to be more generous. They wanted to be able to give, and they wanted to be able to leave something behind for their kids. And so God cares about the whole 90%. I am cheap, and if you know me, or if you ever have spent a lot of time with me, you will understand that I am cheap. I don't buy drinks when we go out unless it's like all you can drink. And if I could, I would share it with somebody because I'm cheap. But the reason I'm cheap is because I want to extravagantly bless somebody. And so I know that if I want to do that, I have to be careful over here. Four, stewardship goes beyond money. And this is important. God wants us to be stewards of everything. The parable is about money, but the principle can be applied to everything in our lives. It extends to our gifts, our skills, our resources that are beyond money. We need to be good stewards of our homes, our families, our children. God has given them to us to take care of, but they belong to God. If you're, again, because I was thinking about people 35 and under, the average person spends between 3 to 6 hours a day on their phone, and sometimes even more. Some have gone up to like 10 to 12 hours on your phone. You are responsible. You are to be stewards of your time. And almost everybody in the survey, no matter what age they were, underreported how much they actually use. So if people are telling you, oh, I'm on my phone like 4 hours a day, it's six. Right? And if you think that you are only spending 2 hours a day, you know, you can get one of those things. I get this thing, and it hits like every Sunday morning. It says how much time I've spent on my phone that week. Luckily, it doesn't say what I spent on my computer and my iPad as well, right? We don't all have the same amount of money, right? God hasn't given us the same amount of money, but he's given us the same amount of time. And so we need to use our time and invest it in things that are important to God. And number five, stop looking at other people. Stop looking at other people. I thought I'd have more time this morning, and so I have some gift cards here that I wanted to give out. So, Sam, come on up. I want to give you a gift card. Yeah, come on up. This is a $5 gift card to Dunkin' Donuts. You can use it any way that you want. But I would love to hear how you spent it later on. All right? So are you happy? You got a $5 gift card, right? Who do I want to make walk? Who wants a gift card? How about that? Jane Hughes, come on up. So Jane, I have a gift card for you as well. And this is a $10 gift card. Right? Isn't that cool? You all think the next one's going to be 20 and it's going to be a dollar. There you go. There you go. $10 gift card. All right. I have one more gift card. And I want to give it to somebody who I know is going to use it and invest it wisely in the kingdom of God. Somebody that maybe just recently bought a car and doesn't have a lot of money. Andriana, come on up. You're going to need this. I already yelled at her about coffee, right? So she bought a new car. I said, that means you have to buy a coffee maker so you don't spend all your money on, right? Because they'll never come back and take your coffee away, but they will take your car away. All right. So, Sam, I don't know. I probably should have chose you last. I'm sorry. But when you got that $5, you feel pretty good. Until when? Until you look at what somebody else got. And I don't know why God didn't take them, the master didn't take them secretly and give them the money. He gave it kind of publicly. And maybe because he knew that one day we would have phones and we would have Instagram and we would go on. And we loved that we got to spend the day at the beach until we found out, yo, Pastor Steve's in Florida. Right? This person over here, they're in Hawaii. And this person over here, we were happy with what we had until we started looking at somebody else's. God gave you what he gave you. And if you don't like what God gave you, that I'm telling you, you're insulting God by not being happy with the blessings that God gave you. So stop looking at other people. Stop comparing. Look at the guy that got five, the guy that got two, both got the same reward. They got a well done, good and faithful servant. Right? So the guy with one, if he had just taken it and multiplied it and made two, he would have heard well done. So it doesn't matter what you have. Stop looking at other people and start enjoying what you have. And instead of spending time on Instagram looking at things, do something productive so that God will bless you with more. And then six, to whom much is given, much is required. So sometimes we look at people and we say, oh, look at all they got. Guess what? That's a lot more work. The person with a bigger lawn has to spend much more time mowing the lawn, costs more gas, and they probably need a ride and mower. You know, we want to be grateful for what we have, because to whom much is given, much is required. And number seven, and then I'm going to stop, there's freedom that comes with stewardship. I remember very well my first apartment. That guy didn't want us to do anything. He said, if your sink is clogged, don't try to unclog it. Don't, whatever you do, don't pour liquid plumber into the thing. You call and I'll come. And those guys came like every time we needed anything, they came. It's inconvenient. Your water heater goes, right? And you're renting an apartment. You got to make a call and they come and they do it. But now, when you own a home, your water heater goes, guess who's responsible? You are. There's a freedom that comes. There's a freedom. That's why a lot of people, they live all this long life in this big home, whatever, and then at the end they sell it, and if they're smart, they'll buy a condo somewhere, right? And they don't have to, you know, when we lived in the condo, we didn't have to shovel, you know? Like, what a great thing. Then we got kids, and then we didn't have to shovel either. You got to steward what you have, people. And so what do you do if something goes in your apartment? Who do you call? Who do you call? The land what? The landlord. Did you ever think about that before? I didn't until now, right? He's the lord of the land, right? And if God is the master and we're just the steward, when something goes wrong, call the landlord, right? And you call him, and he says, call on me in the day of trouble, and I'll come, right? And so I'm done. I know it was kind of like everywhere. Worship team, come back. And as they do, I want to be a good steward of my time as they're coming back. Listen, ask God what it is that he wants to say to you today through this message. Because if God brought you here, there was a reason, right? So what's an action step that you need to take? For some, it might be to start tithing. I know you think you're going to do it later. You're going to do it when you're older. I know when you have a real job, you're going to. And then 10 years later, you're still waiting for a real job. So parents, teach your kids giving. My parents taught me how to tithe when I was a kid, so it was no big deal. I remember the first time I felt like I made a real check, like how much joy I had going to the bank, taking that money and dividing it up. So teach your kids, and don't wait till later on. And that's with everything spiritual. Listen, you would never say, I'm going to wait till my kids are older before and let them decide if they're going to brush their teeth or not. Right? Would you ever say that? Do you ever say, I'm going to wait till my kids are older to see if they want to go to school? No, because you know they need to go. They don't want to go to the doctors. You bring them to the doctors. Right? So we're stewards of our kids and we want to teach them. Maybe you don't think you make enough. Some people will say, I don't make enough to tithe. Well, maybe the reason is because you haven't tithed. I wish I could bring up Kenny and Marissa Cutts. And I remember when they really discovered tithing and what God did in their life. And even greater than that was when we had another couple. And I know they don't mind if I say this because I think they've given the testimony here before. But Kenny and Jackie Ruiz. And I remember Kenny and Jackie saying, tithing, we don't make enough tithe. They started tithing and God started blessing them. Before they left this church and moved somewhere else, they were giving 20%. Right? Because God just kept blessing. They get to the place where it's like, what do I do with everything that God has blessed me with? I know you'll have testimonies 6 months from now, and I want to hear those testimonies 6 months from now. So take something that you've heard today and act on it. Be a better steward. Be a better steward. Maybe we need to check our attitude. God says he loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want us to give out of fear. We want to give out of a heart that loves and wants to bless. So I'm going to stop, and maybe another day I'll finish everything that I got. But why don't we stand? I want to give you, let's sing this chorus a couple times. While they do, you don't even have to sing. Just ask God, what do you want me to take action on this week? What is it that I can do that will help in this regard?